Welcome back. It is a family affair. You've got more than money. We consider you our family, and we are so very happy to be with you this Saturday morning. Glorious day out there. I don't know what the temperature's up to. It was 35 this morning at the Old Homestead. John said the report looks at 46. We're supposed to see a high of 62. I'm going to be bundled up out there today. I'm just a weenie about this being chilly stuff. You know, and I have good friends, bless them. If you're just joining us, I mentioned in the first hour that we're playing golf today to raise funds for the Folds of Honor organization. A great, great program helping military vet families that are in need, particularly on the education side. Doing great job. And they've been doing it a long time. National organization. They have a local presence. Young lady down in Center Valley heading up a lot of the efforts. Beth and good friend Fred Keck is helping out as well. Lots of other good folks. Lots of good folks. We're happy to be there. And I got friends. If good friend Roy, oh my gosh, he's out Kempton way. You go out to Kempton, the wind blows. It could be 98 degrees. The wind chills like 4 below. There's a lot. He will play golf. As long as there's not snow on the ground, he's playing golf. And my target, you know, if it's below 70, I don't like to play. If it's above 74, I don't like to play. So I got a reasonably tight target of when I can actually play without just simply whining the entire time. So for the boys that will be joining me today, Mark and Darren and Matt, hey, excellent for you. If I were you, I'd grab some earplugs. 610-720-7900. Gene at askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. One of our most loyal listeners sends us an email, was out to dinner with friends. One of the folks was from South Carolina, complaining that both her pension and her IRAs were taxable by the state of South Carolina. Ooh, ouch. Told her maybe she needed to come back to PA. But it got him thinking, what do you suppose the odds are that our current governor, who is hungry for tax revenue, advances a bill to make pensions PA state taxable before his term is over? I think the inclination for Governor Wolf to do that is very high. I think the opportunity for that to pass is very low. Republicans still have tremendous control because of the legislature. So I don't know he can propose the bill. I'm not aware that he can do anything from executive order. Thank you. Jeez, it was in there. It wouldn't come out. Executive order. Thank you, John. I don't know that he can do that, and I'm prayerful that he can't. So we'll see, but I appreciate your point indeed. We are. Now, let's be very clear. Pennsylvania it does us no great favors, because while we were putting money into these retirement plans, they were taxing that money. Pennsylvania gives you very, very, very few deductions, very few, very few. Pennsylvania return can almost always be done in like 3 minutes, because you're going, here's what I earned, here's my interest, here's my dividends. Oh, I don't get to deduct anything? Here's my tax. Off you go. So they taxed a bunch of this along the way. So it wasn't a gift. It's not a gift. But it is nice. I mean, it comes at a really good time in most people's lives where they're trying. Hey, it's a 3% bump. If you're required minimum distribution. I told you I could say it. I knew I would get before the end of the show. I would get to say it correctly once. If your RMD is $10,000, normally you'd pay $300 plus in Pennsylvania Pennsylvania income taxes. You don't. That's $300 in your pocket. If your RMD is $50,000, that's $1,500 in your pocket. Better in your pocket. Just my opinion. But I would be right. 610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com. MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. 46 minutes left in this edition of More Than Money. We did have a caller, but he didn't go on air. So technically, we have not had an icebreaker call yet. He was very nice, but he didn't break an ice. He was ice, nice. All right, ice, nice, nice baby. 610-720-7900. One of our most astute audience members gives me lots of good information, always kicking me information. Hey, I saw this. Hey, I read that. To be fair, he's not a client. He's a audience member. He's a member of our More Than Money family as a listener, and he's always engaged. He's always sending me good stuff. He's not a client, which kind of explains why he has the time on a daily basis now that he's retired to send me a lot of stuff. One of the things he sent me, to be fair, lots of the things he sent me are very funny. I appreciate those a lot. Some of them don't apply to more than 0.1% of the world, so they don't really lend themselves to a radio topic, but this one does. Lots of you have invested in mutual funds, lots and lots of you, myself included, lots of our clients. Mutual funds are required by law to distribute their net capital gains, dividends, interest, etc., at least once a year. Most of the stock funds, mutual funds can invest in many, many, many different types of things. One category of mutual funds invests in the stock market. So you buy T. Rowe Price Blue Chip Growth, and you find out that you own stock in Apple, you own stock in Johnson & Johnson, you own stock in McDonald's, and many, many other companies. If the mutual funds during the course of a year have had a lot of activity, they've been buying and selling stocks frequently. At the end of the year, typically in December, sometimes November, but typically December, they will declare their taxable distribution. Lots of folks say, well, sure. For example, last year, the stock market was down a bit, so you would think there would be very little. This year, the market's up a bit. There might be a little bit. The reality is that the activity in the stock market has very, very, very little to do with the actual distributions. So it is not unusual at all for a investor in a mutual fund. I'm picking a number out of thin air. Their investment is a total of $10,000. And at the end of the year, they get a 1099 for $2,000. And you would say, well, that's great. They made a 20% return. They may have made a 0% return because the distribution, the taxable distribution, is a function of the underlying buying and selling of the stocks. It is not a function of how well the stock or the shares of the mutual fund itself has gone. So what does this mean to you? It's early October. At some point in the relatively near future, I would say 4 to 6 weeks, you will likely be alerted to the potential distributions that you should expect from some of your mutual funds. To be clear, if your mutual funds are being held in an IRA, not to worry. It doesn't affect you because those are tax sheltered. Whether they're standard or Roth IRAs, they are tax sheltered. If they are not, you may very well find yourself in a position where your 1099 in January is very, very high. You end up paying a lot of income tax on distributions, even on funds that have not done particularly well. So be careful, be cautious. If you think you've got a problem, explore it. If you are a do-it-yourselfer, reach out to the mutual fund families that you are using, Vanguard, Fidelity, T. Rowe, whatever they may be. Get that information because you may want to take action. You may, and what action would you take? Okay, let's, again, pick a number. We have an investment in the ABC fund. It's worth $10,000. This year it's done okay. It's up 8%. Lovely. They alert you to the circumstance that they will be making a $2,500 distribution at the end of the year. And you kind of scratch your head a little bit. You go, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm up 8%. I've made about $800, but you're going to make me pay tax on $2,500. And the answer is, uh-huh. How would you avoid that? Well, prior to the distribution, you will have a guidance. They will give you a guesstimate of what they are going to distribute. You have the option of selling that fund and avoiding that distribution and avoiding paying tax on a lot more money than you actually made. Now, a couple things. You're looking at a fund, you're going, but I love this fund. I absolutely love this fund. The IRS understands that, and they're not saying you can't buy it back. They are saying that if you want to get this avoidance, you've got to wait 30 days to buy that fund back. If you're saying, look, it's not the fund. The fund's fine. I'm not in love with the fund. To be honest, it's the category. I'm in a large cap growth fund. If I sell this one, could I buy a different one? The answer is you could buy a different one that day. So you could be in a T. Rowe Price large cap growth. You could sell that and buy a Vanguard large cap growth immediately and never be out of the market. So there's lots to be done here. There's lots that you should be concerned about. It's all about taxes. Ugh. I don't want you to pay any more taxes than you have to. 610-720-7900. That's the number that Don has called. Don, good morning.
Good morning, and it's a cold morning. I know how you feel, and I feel. I have a question about a deed, and I might have done a dumb thing, and I want you to know if you can answer me or not.
Okay.
The deed was in my name. Well, originally it was in my wife and my name, and we went to get it changed, and we changed it to my name and a trustee, which is my daughter. My question now is, does she inherit the house, or does she have to sell the house as a trustee?
Who is the beneficiary of the trust?
Beneficiary? Well, I don't know. There is on the house, I put her name on the deed, and it's listed as my name and her name as a trustee.
Yeah, that's a little unusual. Typically, if a person is named as a trustee, there is a legal document, a trust document, that would have named her as the trustee. And in that document, it would also name a beneficiary of that trust. And the beneficiary would be the person who receives the house when you are no longer with us. When you're gone, she, the daughter, would be the trustee that would distribute the home. It's very possible that she is both the trustee and the beneficiary, so that at your passing, she would both be the trustee and end up with the home. That's very, very possible. But it is not, in my experience, it's not possible that she is a trustee without there being a trust. When this was set up, did you use an estate planning attorney to help you?
Well, we used that senior thing. They helped you out with senior, and they gave us an attorney. And that's, I said, I want the house to go to my daughter, and they set it up as me. They changed the deed, and the deed was changed to me and trustee, and it named the trustee.
Yeah, Don,
it didn't say anything.
Yeah, it would not surprise me if there is a trust. It would not surprise me. A lot of these senior counselors, senior whatever they call themselves, are big on using what are called living trusts or revocable trusts. That would not surprise me at all. But it is really important from where I stand for you to find this out. You can have a second opinion of your circumstance absolutely free. There's no charge involved. You can sit with an estate planning attorney and have him review all of your documents. And I think that in under your circumstances, that's something you need to do kind of as soon as you can.
Is there any good estate attorneys there in the Lehigh Valley that I could choose from?
There are indeed, and we can get you a referral. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask John to put you on hold. We'll get your phone number, and we'll have somebody from our team contact you with a referral on Monday.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Hang on a second, and John will get that information for you. This is a bit of a head scratcher. It's difficult to see a trustee named without a trust. I've not seen that happen. Is it possible that he could have simply added his daughter to the deed? Sure. Done properly, adding the daughter to the deed as a joint tenant with rights of survivorship means that when Don passes, she gets it automatically. My suspicion is, and he mentioned just the term senior, he didn't fill in the blanks of what company or group he may have been counseling with. My suspicion is there are a fair number of companies, groups that hold themselves out as serving the needs of seniors who are thinly disguised salesmen for living trusts. And these living trust packages are often quite expensive, measured in the thousands of dollars. And often the result is that assets like a home are placed in a trust. So it is something that we'll look very carefully at with Don and make sure that that his understanding of the situation matches the reality, and then that the reality matches what he wishes to have done. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to Renee. Renee, good morning.
Good morning, Gene. I have a question that deals with pension plans. I recently received a correspondence from my pension indicating, I believe that what they were telling me was that the assets of the plan were more than sufficient to meet the liabilities of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And that they were taking the excess and applying it to other benefits that I would receive, specifically in this case to a life insurance policies.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, do I, as a beneficiary of the plan, ever have any say in how the administrators of the plan do what they do with this surplus, that is in the plan, or is that strictly up to them?
It is absolutely strictly up to them.
Oh, okay. So I have no, because I was thinking, gee, I'd rather see it applied to medical benefits than to life insurance. But
When I say you have no absolutely no say, that is true up to a point. All of the administrators, all of the folks who have influence over what they do or don't do inside of a pension plan are fiduciaries. They are required by law to act in the best interest of the employees, the beneficiaries of that pension plan, you included. If you, in your opinion, find that they're not doing that, or your opinion is they're not doing that, you have every right to question it. You have every right, in some cases, to take legal action, perhaps band together with other pensioners and press your concerns. In recent years, that has become actually a very successful strategy with folks who are unhappy with what's being done inside their pensions. Even some of the major firms, Fidelity, got sued because their pensions were not being admitted. And you would think Fidelity, for gosh sakes, they're one of the largest in the world. They're going to do everything perfectly. They were sued. A number of large pension funds have been sued for taking actions that they don't believe, that the pensioners did not believe were in their best interest. So Can you express your opinion? You absolutely can. Just reach out to the trustees of the plan and tell them what you think. That is unlikely to be fair. It's unlikely to get the results that you were hoping for. But if you pursue or contact other folks who are in the pension plan and get them to agree, you can certainly press the issue. So directly, do you have any influence? No. Indirectly, the answer is you certainly could.
You raised another question in your explanation, which was very good, Gene. And that's the question of when the company set up the pension plan, did they give responsibility for the plan to a third party, which is not part of the, and then they make their contributions to that third party?
Yeah, in general,
The distribution.
Yes, in general, that's the way it's done. A trust is set up, a pension trust. There are trustees named. In relatively small companies, it's quite common that the owners of the company are also the trustees of the pension fund. As pensions get much larger, it's very common that they are not. So a pension is always a separate entity from the company and operates independently.
Okay, thank you very much, Gene.
You're very welcome, sir. Take care. 610-720-7900. We have one caller on hold. We have a couple lines open for you. John tells me we have a minute or so, just a little bit. So I'll give you a tease. I'll tell you what we're going to do in the next half hour segment in addition to answering your calls. I read a fascinating article in the AAII Journal. It's the American Association of Individual Investors Journal about investment scams and the red flags that you should be looking for to tell you beware. Fascinating stuff. I'm going to share a bunch of that with you in the next quarter hour. So keep in mind, when we come back, we're going to have 21 and a half minutes for your calls. One call on hold, 610-720-7900. We'll take your calls after this on More Than Money.
Grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves the both of them. You see, it's in the blood. Both kids are good and mom. Blood's thicker than the mud. It's a family affair.
Just stick with us, because in just over 20 minutes and 40 seconds, you're going to get that entire song from Sly and the Family Stone. Great piece of music. And I feel bad for you, because here in the studio, I wear headsets. And so when that music comes on, I get to hear it on the headset. It sounds so good. I get it. That makes me a dinosaur, going back to the days of turntables and headsets, headphones, and if you got a really good set of headphones and a great oh my gosh, there was a time when the only way you could measure how good a speaker was if it was too big for one person to carry. Oh, you got good speakers, and you'd get two speakers and they'd each weigh 300 pounds. It was crazy. And then to go to headsets, especially if you're just on your own, it was just great stuff. Now the best speakers are what, like 1 inch square, and they're just crazy. So enjoy the music. 610-720-7900. We go back to the phones and we talk to Steve. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Gene. I have a question for you that I'd like to know what your recommendation would be for the money from the sale of a home.
Okay.
When you're going to needed approximately in a year or so to resettle.
Very good. The most important thing, the highest priority for this money, has to be safety.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be. There can't be, well, I'll invest it for a short period of time and then I'll come back. And no, it has to be safety. If the intent is a year or so,
yeah,
that absolutely eliminates anything connected to the stock market, anything connected to the word investment. The only types of things that you should be looking at should have names like bank, credit union, high quality, super safe, maybe a short-term bond, maybe a short-term CD, and nothing that carries any principal risk whatsoever. If you get to the end of the year or so, and if you've purchased this new home and there's excess money, that's a different question completely, because now you're shifting the use of that money or the purpose of that money from buying a home to something else, perhaps later, that has a longer time frame. But in using any resting place, any holding place, my mom would have said cookie jar, any place that you're just hanging on to the money, today's interest rate environment is very low. Over the course of a year or so, would not surprise me if you're looking at somewhere between 1% and 2% interest to be reasonably expected. But as long as the money is 100% safe, that should be your highest priority.
Okay. Well, that answers my question. I was curious what you had recommended. So I think that solves it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Take care. Have a good day.
You too. God bless.
Bye-bye.
610-720-7900. We go back to the phones. We talk to Nick. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Gene. I have a kind of a question about the financial markets. I've been reading a lot about the repo market.
Sure.
And where a company or a hedge fund takes a treasury bill, lends it out overnight for cash. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been reading that the Federal Reserve has been pumping $160 billion overnight to the repo market. And so I'm wondering, is this a sign of a financial meltdown on the way? And two, I've been reading even more details of it, and it appears when the Fed gives the money overnight, they're giving it to Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, who then distribute it to people who need it. Is that an opportunity for shenanigans? So the question is... Is there a meltdown on the way because of this repo stuff and the need for cash? And is there shenanigans going on? That's my question.
Yeah, the word shenanigans is a pretty reasonable one. Whenever the term Federal Reserve is involved, and particularly when the term federal government is involved, there's always a question about is it being done for the best interest of the American public, or is it being done for somebody else's best interest? And when you start throwing in Morgan Stanley, J.P. Morgan, et cetera, visions of the 2008 meltdown with the financial institutions kind of coming out A-OK for the most part, Lehman Brothers being the major exception, of course, and the American public kind of not being... certainly come to mind. The repo market, it is, for folks who are hearing repo, they're going, why are they taking my car? No, that's not what we're talking about. These are overnight repurchase agreements. Banks typically lend one bank to another. Typically, they do that without requiring any kind of collateral from the other bank. Because in essence, it's a risk-free transaction. They're all part of the same system, so to speak. So tonight, J.P. Morgan might lend to Wells Fargo. Tomorrow, Wells Fargo might lend to Citibank. It goes on and on and on. The Federal Reserve becomes almost a market maker when times of credit tightness come, and they are very rare. But because, again, we're talking about lending literally overnight, virtually guaranteed profits in a ridiculously short period of time. Yes, middle of September, there was a glitch. There was a hiccup. There was a fly in the ointment in this whole repo process. And the Federal Reserve did step in. No question about it. And you're absolutely right. A lot of folks have kind of scratched their head and said, wait a second. If it's guaranteed, non-collateral, but guaranteed, and it's incredibly short term, why would there have been a need for the Fed to step in? And that causes people to say, looks like there's something afoot, something that's really going to cause a serious credit problem. As far as we can see, as you might suspect, have a number of both investment and economic advisors that we counsel with, and they have provided us with a fair amount. I will share very little of the detail they have provided with us this morning, because lots of folks who are out there listening to our show are driving their cars, and it is almost guaranteed to put them asleep, and I don't want to risk losing even a single one of our listeners. But the conclusion that we've seen from the folks that we trust is that no, it's not a meltdown signal. Meltdown signals are typically in interest of occur in high interest rate environments where money dries up because people are not willing to lend at those at any interest rate, even though they're being very offered very, very high interest rates. And yesterday's report on the jobs report gave us a lot of support for the fact that while growth is indeed slowing, it is not in any kind of a contraction. The economy is not in a contracting or a recessionary scenario. So long-winded answer. Short answer is our analysis of the situation is it's complicated. Quantitative easing and the Federal Reserve is in the equation. But the conclusion that we've drawn is it a signal for a meltdown? The answer is no.
Okay. Thank you, Gene.
Thank you, sir. 610-720-7900. I apologize. I don't know which is which. I don't have a line. Is that? I think that was the first one you gave me. Let's give it a go. Good morning. Is this Richard?
Yes, it is. How are you this morning, Gene?
Very well, sir. How may we serve you?
Good. Well, first of all, thank you for the education you've given me over the years.
You're very welcome.
On my finances. So recently, I switched jobs, and my 401k that I had, I rolled over to an IRA. My question is, when I had the 401k, I had a choice of two bond funds, and now that I'm in the IRA, there's like literally hundreds of them,
sure.
And I'm kind of like scared. You know, I'm at my rodeo now, my first rodeo, and I'm looking at like, well, which bond fund do I put money into? Am I going to, because I see short-term junk bonds, you know, corporate bonds, and I'm really not sure what is what,
sure.
And where would I put my money.
Let me ask you just a couple basic questions. You rolled this to an IRA. Are you managing this money yourself, or do you have an advisor?
I'm managing it.
Very good. And so are you at a custodian that allows you to invest in basically anything? Or are you at Vanguard, and they're expecting you're going to invest in Vanguard?
Well, I did it through TD, and
So
I can go into just about anything. And I'm finding that some funds I can't get into, like, you know, the S&P 500 Vanguard, it won't let me in that one.
Sure.
You know, certain ones. But I'm just kind of focusing on bonds at the moment.
Very good. In the IRA,
the way the market is.
Sure. In the IRA, roughly how much money would you be looking at to go into bonds?
Probably about 20,000.
Ah, very good. Outstanding. With a sum of, if you had said to me 200,000, my answer would have been very different. But with 20,000, there are a number, and it's interesting, we both mentioned the word Vanguard. There are a number of mutual funds. Vanguard has a very good one. It's called the Total Bond Market Fund.
Okay.
Where they,
it's one of the ones I was looking at.
Yeah, it's a great selection for you. The Vanguard managers have access to any type of bond fund, or I'm sorry, any type of bond, kind of anywhere. So high yield, sure. Junk bonds, similar idea, sure. Variable rate bonds, absolutely. Corporate, governments, they do the total bond market. So you're getting tremendous diversification. One fund, simple, easy. It's a great way to go.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That really helps me out a lot.
Not a problem, Richard. Thank you, and God bless.
All right. Same to you. Thank you.
610-720-7900. That's the next one you gave me. Is this Barry? Barry, good morning.
Hello.
Is this Barry?
Yeah, it's me. Are you there?
I am indeed. What's your question for us this morning?
I got a hypothetical financial question for you. it's not hypothetical. My property taxes are due. I'm low on funds. Is it better for me to sell my silver that I have or infiltrate my IRA even though I'll get penalized?
Sell the silver.
Sell the silver?
Yep.
All right.
Was that easy?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's just that easy, sure.
Because yeah, I bought it at $36 an ounce. Now it's down like $20 an ounce.
Yeah, and that's even better because instead of getting a taxable event out of your IRA, you'll get a tax deduction for the loss on your silver. That's absolutely the way to go.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I get a deduction.
You can get a deduction.
Get the heck out. All right. Thanks, Gene.
You're very welcome, sir. 610-720-7900. We go back to the phones. We talk to Dick. Dick, good morning.
Good morning, Gene. I appreciate the service you offer to the Valley. I understand what you said about avoiding capital gains taxes in selling one mutual fund, buying another. But am I correct? When you sell that first mutual fund, you are going to generate taxes due on any gains in the value when you sell that. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. If there are gains, you are locking in those gains, and that will expose you to a tax. It is very important when you're considering doing that, making that sale, that you look carefully at that particular mutual fund, evaluate what taxable gain there may be, and see that that's an acceptable number for you from a tax standpoint. Many folks are surprised to find that funds that have been going up a lot that they've held for a long time, actually, when they sell, they don't have taxable gains because most of that profit that they've seen, they've been paying tax on year by year by year. They get the 1099s, they reinvest the profits, but they've paid the tax. So make sure that you understand what your cost basis is so you don't get an unexpected surprise. But you're absolutely right. If there is a taxable gain, there will be tax to be paid.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad I had the right handle. Thank you, Gene. Have a good day.
You too, sir. God bless. 610-720-7900. That's what's called an icebreaker. And then the floodgates open. That's fantastic. I will apologize on the most modest of levels about our discussion about repo. The repurchase agreements issue with the Federal Reserve and banks. The getting into the weeds is almost impossible. Avoiding getting into the weeds is almost impossible when you're talking about a topic like that. And for all of you who are out there going, wow, I'm with you. I'm with you. It's important, of course, as a financial advisor that we have a good handle on what factors are or are not critical to the decisions we make with our clients. But goodness gracious. 610-720-7900. Gentleman writes, being bombarded with literature on Medicare Advantage plans, no premiums, no for medical or prescription drugs. Any thoughts? The gentleman who is the expert on Medicare in our practice, Mr. Mark Basak, has lots of thoughts about Medicare. If you are looking at Medicare questions and you're finding them confusing, reach out to our office. I'll give you contact information here shortly. You can either come in and meet with Mark. You can have a phone conversation with Mark. You can have an email exchange with Mark. I will tell you, as a relatively new participant in Medicare, back in March, I turned 65. It is a challenge. Free is an interesting, no premiums, no deductibles, no copays, etc. Since you and I are old enough to know that there's no free lunch, free means you gave up something. So the question is, what are you giving up and are you okay with giving that up? And so quite often, and by the way, hundreds of plans available. Oh my gosh. The challenge is very, very real. Hundreds of plans available. But again, if you have questions about Medicare or Social Security, free second opinion with Mr. Mark Basak. Gentleman writes, Follow-up to the meltdown question, do you think that the slowdown is mainly caused by the Fed raising rates too many times last year? Kudlow seems to think that's the real culprit and the reason for the slowdown. Do you think one or two rate cuts will straighten this thing out in 6 months? I think rate cuts and rate increases when we're in the interest rate environment that we're currently in, we were for the longest time at near zero. We're not. So the variations, quarter point cuts or quarter point increases, have impact, but not nearly the impact that job creation does, for example. So when you saw yesterday that the jobs report was solid, the market ended up, I think, plus 300 on the Dow. That, I think, has more impact. I had promised red flags on investment scams. 4 minutes? It may have to be continued. You know what? I'm going to hit the highlights, and then I'll come back with details next week. If you hear of an investment that has high guaranteed returns with little or no risk, if you hear, and just tell them that we won't be answering questions the rest of the show. If they want to call back, that's fine. Again, kind of classic red flag for investment scams. Hey, you can make 8, 10, 12%, and there's absolutely no risk. It's calm. It's cool. Everybody's making money. That's a pretty serious red flag. Everyone is getting into it is kind of a quote. Hey, come and see. Everybody's buying in. Everybody's successful. Come and join the club. Once-in-a-lifetime deals. These are fairly easy and obvious. Hey, you've got to do it by Thursday at noon. On some of the high-pressure sales circumstances, hey, in the next 2 hours, I'm going to give you all the information. You have to decide in 2 hours, or you're going to miss the opportunity of a lifetime. Anytime you feel high pressure, that is a red flag. If the investment seems or is being presented as offering very consistent returns in up and down markets, up and down interest rates, but their returns are very consistent, that's the hallmark of the Bernie Madoff ripoff. In up and down markets, he was giving 12, 14, 15% returns independent of the market, even when it became very clear that was impossible. Free investment seminars and meals. Fancy meals are often a red flag. There are some very reputable companies that are offering free meals, and then there are very reputable companies, kind of like More Than Money, where if you come to one of our workshops, we will give you little tiny bottles of water. but you have to ask for them. They're not just available. Okay. So lots of red flags there. I absolutely am going to hold this over for next week for some discussion, because there are folks who are significantly concerned about some of investment offerings that they've been seeing, they've been hearing about. So we want to make sure that you're asking the right questions and that you're protecting yourself to the greatest degree that you can. Before we go, second opinion meetings indeed. Mark Basak on the Social Security side, Mike Pompei on the insurance side, Rob Pinnell and others on the estate planning side. But the way you get started is you get a free second opinion about your personal financial circumstance with one of our More Than Money advisors, and we're happy to do that for you. All you have to do is ask. Send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, gene@askmtm.com. You can go to our website and do the very same thing, morethanmoneyonline.com. morethanmoneyonline.com. And of course, you can always go old school. Pick up the phone, talk to a real person. That's kind of fun. 610-746-7007. Again, 610-746-7007. Folks, thanks for spending part of your Saturday morning with me. We'll see you next time on More Than Money. It's a family affair.
somebody that just loves to learn. And another child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves the both of them. You see, it's in the blood. Both kids are good and bound. Blood's thicker than the mud. It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family.